Our lesson for today is, there is sunshine in my soul. Reading from Psalm 139, verses 8 to 10, if I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. I heard someone say the other day that they felt edgy, tired, maybe even a bit sad. And that made them feel even more edgy because, in their own words, there's no reason to feel this way. They said, I feel like yelling at myself, stop it, enough, quit. Edgy, on edge. It's an interesting way to put it. You're unstable. It's too easy to fall one way or the other when you walk or balance on the edge. It wears you out. An object set on edge tips over easily. Maybe that's how some of us feel 6 months into the new normal of this pandemic. People say that the depression some of us may be feeling is, well, hold on. There's that word depression. Who's depressed? I'm not. But we're okay saying we feel under the weather, but depressed? Nope, not me. Well, we talk about bad weather as a depression, don't we? And we're okay saying we're under it. We don't go crazy and get defensive with that language. We know the barometric pressure is dropped for a time and sunny skies are on hold for a bit. We know the sun is going to shine again, Lord willing. We remember how uplifting fair weather is, and we hang in there looking toward tomorrow. So, feeling depressed doesn't have to be much different. We've been having some bad weather pandemic-wise in our lives. That's an understatement, isn't it? But it will pass. It will. Not as fast as we'd like, but it will. Whatever the next months bring, whatever the new year brings, we'll be okay. Now, I'm a realist like you. I can't just ignore what's going on. We can't ignore how very sick some have been with the virus. We can't ignore how tragic the deaths have been here and around the world and how that has devastated families. We have members that can't be with sick or dying family members. We have ill members that can't be safely visited. We have grieving members who needed more hugs and encouragement than they got. Some have lost jobs. Some have lost income. Some don't know what their jobs will look like in the future, what skills they will need. Some are about to welcome a new addition to their family. Our ability to plan is really fuzzy right now. Our safe comfort zones have shrunk. It's like we're standing on a spot, too small to stand on. On edge? You bet. Depressed? Why not? We can feel some depression in our lives, can't we? Without being afraid to say so. If we have trouble getting a good night's sleep, if we lack motivation, if we feel tired too much of the time, if we find it hard to concentrate, isn't that telling us something? I once worked with a really neat guy, Tom. I'll just call him Tom K for right now. He was a great guy to work with. And when asked how sure he was about this or that, especially when we were in our test cells, when asked how sure he was about this or that, he'd say, I'll bet a lot of money on it, but never my life. So I'll not put my life on it, but I'm pretty sure most of us are on edge, somewhat depressed. And based on past experience, if I were to propose this to a group of 10 people, say in person, one of them would say, not me, nope. So that person, I say, go to the back of the line and step forward when you can be honest with yourself. Now try this on for size. What if we were to approach how we're feeling with the pandemic like we're wearing tinted glasses? Everywhere we look, things look different, strange. Maybe darker or bleaker or uncertain, a different color. What if we were to approach it like this and make a determined effort to remember what the world, our lives, our families, our jobs, our congregation once looked like and will look like again? Not what it looks like now, but what it once looked like, what they once looked like and will look like again. We can do that. And we need to admit how we truly feel to ourselves and importantly to God. Are we reluctant to appear weak or human if we say we're depressed? Our culture praises those who are in control of their lives all the time, no matter what. Are we afraid to appear unspiritual or unfaithful? Does our view of God's word make us feel like we don't trust him if we say we're a bit depressed? In 1 Kings 19:14, Elijah certainly was when he was chased by Jezebel. John the Baptist felt a bit depressed and unsure of things in Matthew 11, 2 and 3, when he didn't see the kingdom working out as fast or the way he thought it would. Peter lashed out, reacting to how his life got turned upside down in Matthew 26, 69 through 71. The psalmist, and we're not exactly sure who he is, but the psalmist writes about depression in Psalms 42, 5 and 6. All we know is that his life circumstances had been altered, perhaps abruptly, not his choice, and he was having a hard time, but he recalls how things used to be, and he looked forward to how things could be. He writes in Psalm 42, 5 and 6, "Why are you in despair, O my soul? And why have you become disturbed within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him for the help of his presence. Oh my God, my soul is in despair within me. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and the peaks of Hermon from Mount Mizar." We remember how things were this time last year. What were you doing last year on September 6th? What were you planning to do? What had you just done? We remember how things were just this past February. Whatever problems we thought we faced, who would have thought this? We remember how wonderful it was to see each other face to face as we assembled in worship. The psalmist felt the same way about fellowship lost. In Psalms 42:4, he said, "These things I remember, and I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go along with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with a voice of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng." It's worth considering, no matter how tough life can be, always be grateful to God for what we do have. Remember, Jesus told us to seek the kingdom of heaven first and foremost, seek it always, and God will faithfully provide for our needs. The psalmist in Psalm 42 and 43 described how he felt in various places. He spoke about a fallen countenance. He spoke about feeling like waves were overwhelming him, about being anxious. And you may recall that Jonah used the same language when he was inside the great fish and he was in despair. Have faith. It's too easy for faith to falter and stumble at times like this. Now I don't, not even for a minute, have anything but confidence in our faith in Christ and in our eternal hope. God is sovereign. God is always in control. That's our rock. And that's not what I mean by have faith. Remember, God is our sovereign. God is always in control. He's our rock. Even the psalmist in Psalm 43, 3 and 5 went from lament to joy as he looked to the future. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. He was in despair. He was upset. He was anxious. He was depressed. He was nervous. He lamented for the things that he had lost, but he didn't lose faith. He knew that he would be back with God someday. That's what I mean by not losing faith. Things will be okay. Things probably are okay, better than we think they are. But I do think it's possible in our earthly lives to lose faith in tomorrow, on our jobs, our finances, our family and friends, the things and ways we're familiar with that we find comfort and safety in. Now, some of you listening this morning are young, and what's happening is all new to you. And you see society in an uproar, and it's depressing. We got to change something. We got to fix something. This is horrible. And some of you are old hands, have been around, have seen upheaval in society come and go, have seen wars and depressions and strife, but yet still feel depressed. Some aren't sure if this is the first time this ever happening, and they're depressed. Some have seen it before and know they'll get through, but still are depressed. When you feel down, even if it defies your logic, it's real to you. You feel down. It is hard sometimes, even when you take advantage of the power of the scripture, to pick yourself up and move forward. But we must move. Moving is the key. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call in God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Hear that? I press toward the goal for the prize. What prize? The upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I press forward. It goes without saying that Paul's forward press had a large spiritual growth component, yet it also had a large physical earthly component. How would Paul talk and behave if he were among us today in these times, if he were to meet with us? Would we, including him, all encourage one another to press forward? Would we? Or would we mope around? What now is, trouble-wise, has already been, and as the earth stands, it will be again. Think about Joseph in Egypt. Did he have cause for feeling depressed? I can only imagine that these feelings came over him from time to time, yet he prevailed. He motivated himself to press forward. God was in control. The scriptures tell us that God may test us for our own good and growth. Sometimes we think that Satan is testing us and circumstances are testing us. And Satan may cause us to fail a test, or we may allow circumstances to overwhelm us. But the scriptures also tell us that God tests us for our own good and growth. Is our physical and spiritual growth that God is causing us, are we weathering this pandemic in preparation for something? Perhaps it is preparation for whatever the future may bring. Perhaps God is strengthening us for continued service in his name. For another situation like we're in now, that we think, well, when this is over, our life's going to be a smooth sail from here out until the grave. Probably not. So is God preparing us for another situation like we're in now, maybe even one worse? Would we look back on these days and said, I wish I could be back in that pandemic instead of the one I'm in now? Could he be preparing us for a rise in resistance against freedom to worship as Christians, to express our beliefs? Maybe God is building us up so we can show the world our joy, even under such circumstances, and show them the hope that lies within us. Sometimes we understand that we're ready, that we need to be ready to give those who ask us a reason for the hope that's within us, but we can also show them that there's hope within us. Psalm 66:10 through 12 reads, For you, O God, have tested us. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the net. You have laid affliction on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through the fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment. And it's good to remember what Paul wrote to the church at Rome. Romans 5:3-6. We exult in our tribulations. That's not normal, is it? But he said, we exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. And perseverance brings about proven character. And proven character brings about hope. And hope does not disappoint. So, if we feel disappointed in something, then we need the hope that doesn't disappoint. And we're not going to get that hope unless our character and our perseverance is built up through tribulation. Hope does not disappoint, Paul says, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given us. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. That's our hope. And if we want to cling tightly to that hope with all character and all perseverance, then we will exult in our tribulations. We will thank him I can't imagine. Sometimes you can't imagine that, can't you? Thank him for being able to weather what's happening to us right now. Here's some constructive things we can do. First, we can distinguish between fact and feeling. And that's hard to do sometimes. You might not feel like doing this. Imagine that. You might not feel like determining what are feelings and what are facts. Kind of like a bad cycle to get into, but you've got to. About 90% of the time, in times like this, feelings have little connection to reality. Reality is detached from how we might feel. Now, knowing this is key when we feel down. We have to remember this. When people say it's not bad as it looks, they really mean it. They're not just trying to pat you on the back and pick you up with platitudes. It really usually is not as bad as you feel. And you only look at the bad and you don't look at the good. So 90% of the time, feelings have little connection to reality. We fancy ourselves as victims. We're too busy. We're troubled. We're not ready yet. We're not fit. I'm exhausted. I'm too tired. Somebody else's fault. But generations 100 years ago, even 200 years ago, from the beginning of time, they felt like this many times. Maybe the blessings afforded to us in this country have conditioned us to think that adversity is not our lot. It can't happen to us. But here we are. It's just us. We're all we've got. It's our turn in the barrel. If we try to process or make sense of our lives, our circumstances, through our tinted lenses, we could feel terrified, though we pretend to hide it. Now, here's two pieces of good news. Even though you're looking through your lenses and you may feel terrified, good news number one is the reality framed by God's word is solid, objective. Nothing has changed with us and God. Take heart in that. Nothing's changed here. God hasn't backed away from us. We haven't backed away from God. He hasn't changed what he said, what he's promised. Take heart in that. However, it's our personal reality and our immediate circumstances that doesn't look so solid to us. When things change unexpectedly in our lives, it feels overwhelming. What am I going to do? Good news item number two, not everything has changed. Only a small part of our entire lives have changed. It may seem like the whole world got turned upside down on us, like it did to Peter the night Jesus was arrested. But that's not reality. That's not true. Most of what we know and trust has remained unchanged. So we have to separate feelings from reality. Try something here. First of all, I invite you to go into your own storehouse of treasured memories, hopes and dreams. They're right where you left them. Think about your childhood, the good things, times you've had, your vacations you went, how you love your family and friends, your birthdays, your holidays, the times we've had coming together as Christians. Go into your own storehouse of treasured memories. Grab them and hang on to them for a minute. They're right where you left them. Nobody has touched them. They're not going to change. Now consider the Apostle Paul when he was in prison in Rome. Did he despair? Was Paul suddenly without his memories? We don't know much about his childhood, but I can imagine with parents who were faithful to God at that time. He had a good childhood. He had good friends. When he was in prison, was the job that Christ called him to accomplish taken away from him? Paul was a real live, breathing human being. He might have been inspired, but he was human just like us. Do you suppose the thought of things he liked and loved were stripped from him? Had the epistles he written suddenly become of no effect? Would he cease to write? But did he remain in good spirits, productive? Yeah, he did. Paul was able to tell that his feelings were separate from reality. These are my feelings. This is reality. I have to cling to reality. Most of Paul's life remained intact. Only a part of it had changed. He moved forward in hope, spiritual hope and physical hope. Now, in your own physical lives, grab that bundle of treasured memories. The joys you've experienced, the love of family and friends. There's a lot of sunshine in your souls. A lot of sunshine you may be forgetting, you may be ignoring. Go into that treasure house and spend a little time there. It's still there. That hasn't changed. As I was preparing for this lesson, I don't know why I had probably a happy day, I guess. I had a flashback to when I was 12 or 13 and I mustered the courage to step out into the aisle and say I wanted to be baptized. I remember that like it was yesterday. Now, we aren't able to comment on our own physical births from personal experience, obviously. Yet I'm sure we've got a lot to say about our own spiritual births, our own individual spiritual births. I've always wondered what it'd be like if we could all sit down together and each of us shared the story of when we were baptized. I imagine the room that we're sitting in would probably vibrate with love and excitement. No one, no thing, no circumstance can take that from our hearts and minds. Like that hymn says, "Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." If we keep looking for peace from the outside while trying to affix blame for this pandemic, when no one is at fault, we're going to feel depressed. We've got to turn to what's true within ourselves and take responsibility. We have to take responsibility for the answers on how to move forward. And I don't mean ever to ignore God's help poured out on us. I don't ever want us to think of ourselves as self-reliant. I mean that it's up to each of us to take what we've got and figure out how to move forward, with God's help, of course, how to move forward. And just a caution to all of us, it may not be productive right now to over-evaluate things in our life. Don't make hasty decisions concerning circumstances or friendships or jobs, because we might misinterpret reality when we're under stress. Sometimes it's often best to simply say, "I'm leaving that to God for now. I'll think about it later when I can, when I'm able to do it clearly. And in the meantime, trust him to handle it." Another thing we can do, and it's harder now, I'll grant you that, is to sit with a Christian friend who is able to remind us of the truth. We can get stuck, and it takes an outside view to get us unmired. Kind of like when you get your car stuck in a mud and you need a winch to pull yourself out. It can be that bad sometimes. Maybe sometimes you need a gentle push. Sometimes you need something serious. When we're feeling depressed or on the edge, it's a great temptation to close the door and shut people out. I understand that. Ironically, when you need others the most is when you're least likely to let them in. It's hard to let people into the cages we often build for ourselves. You know, sometimes a bird feels protected in a cage, feels safe there, and it keeps harm away. And so we often build cages for ourselves, and it's hard to let people into them. But we need faithful friends, godly people, gently reminding us of what's real and important. When a friend speaks truth to us, it gives us something to grab onto. Truth and grab onto. Those go hand in hand. When you're down, you may not be able to believe what your mind is telling you, but you can believe the words of your faithful friend. Proverbs 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend." And sometimes our countenances need sharpening. This applies to prayer as well. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray without ceasing," or what Paul is saying, pray continually. Not just parse it out here and there when it suits you. Pray continually. Like the hymn we have, pray in the morning, pray in the evening, pray at the noontime, pray in the evening, pray all the time, pray continually. We should be constantly in touch with God. He's our lifeline. Yet when we need him the most, we may not feel like praying. We can't let our earthly responsibilities lapse just because we don't feel like it. And we can't let our spiritual responsibilities lapse even though we're apart for a time. As we talked last week, we need to be worshiping. And this is what we've got right now. We need to be contributing because our financial needs are not on hold. We need to be tending to our fellow members in any way we can. We need to be in Bible study. There are a couple of them being offered right now. We need to be there. What could be easier? Log on and you're right there. We can't wait until we feel better to do what we need to do. And here's one more thing we can do, which gives rise to the title of this sermon. We can put sunshine in our soul, or we can let it out. There's an intimate connection between body and soul, and sometimes spirit and soul are used interchangeably. There's an intimate connection between body and soul, body and spirit. The body often charts the way forward, and the soul follows in the wake. When your body is sick, it pulls your soul downward like a weight tied around the ankle. And when the body gets moving and starts accomplishing things, the soul is lifted. One of the most effective methods for lifting our soul and for increasing our faith begins with the body. When we exercise or go for a walk or sit in the sunshine, our body feels better. When our bodies feel better, we think more clearly. We see things more accurately. When we think more clearly, we can more easily process and embrace God's promises. And that increases our faith. It's a cycle that builds us up. When we embrace God's promises, our faith grows. Our hope for tomorrow, physically and spiritually, becomes stronger. Now we know this. God's love for us is just as strong when we feel down as when we feel up. Nothing has changed with God. He can handle our lives even when we can't. Now, that doesn't mean we should shirk our responsibilities, but put our reliance on him. He will help us. He will help us in ways we don't expect. We wonder how we're going to come out of this. What if God brings us out of this in ways we never imagined, and we look back on it and said, wow, except for all the grief maybe that has happened with death and trial and so on like that. But if we look at our lives when we come out of this, maybe we could look back and say, boy, God knew what he was doing. Look at us now. He can handle our lives even when we can't. Remember to ask God for help, always. Not just for relief of symptoms, not like give me an aspirin, God, but help me with what's causing my headache. Ask God for help, not just for relief of symptoms, but for help with relieving the underlying issues. And if you feel low, embrace the sunshine, not only the sunshine in your spiritual life, but the sunshine in your physical life, the things that God has blessed us with. Go for a walk. Watch a tree grow. Sit on your porch and feel the warmth on your face. Drink your coffee and watch the sun rise or watch it set. We may not feel like this, but we've got to rise up. We cannot wallow behind our tinted glasses and say, it looks bad out there. I'm going to stay inside. Always remember, when you feel like you can't get a grip, God's grip is stronger than yours. Ultimately, your hope when you feel depressed hinges on Jesus. He's holding on to you, even when it feels like you're free falling. You may feel low, but your shepherd is walking right beside you. If anyone knows what it's like to be overwhelmed, Jesus did. Jesus does and did and does. I want to bring our lesson to a close with Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's our lesson for this morning, and I thank you for your kind attention. Let's close again, as we always do, with the invitation of Christ. There may be someone out there today within the sound of my voice who is not a Christian and wants to become one and make this the turning point of their life, becoming a child of God today. There may be someone who listens to this lesson later on from the recording and wants to become a Christian. So why not take today, this moment, whether it's now or when you listen to this, to become a child of God? Christ's invitation to you is to become a child of God in the waters of baptism, to be buried in the water like he was buried in the grave, to rise up to walk in newness of life like he rose up never to die again. leaving the old man behind, repenting, and moving forward. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God with all your heart, and are willing to say that, shout that to the world, and be buried in the waters of baptism, to submit to that, and to become a child of God, that can happen today. If you'd like that to happen, let us know, and we'll take care of it within the hour. If you'd like to study more with us, let us know. Thank you, everybody.